I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Junks, live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Joining our team in about 15 minutes is Peter LaViolette, head coach of your Washington Capitals. He'll be on with us at 9:20.
You know, Eric always talks about death, right? Out of the four of us, or the six of us, whatever, he talks about death more than anybody. And I usually don't think about it. I mean, I think about my mom all the time, but I don't think about me dying early.
Right.
But Friday, I was thinking about it a lot because, as most people know, if you've listened to our show for a long time, you know that I played basketball. I went to University of Richmond, didn't work out there, had a bad hamstring injury, didn't play there. I went out to California and played at a JUCO in San Diego.
Right.
And I went out there and I talked to the coaches out there and I said, look, I really want to transfer into a four-year school. So I was going to play out there for 2 years and transfer into a four-year school, you know, a Pepperdine or UC Santa Barbara, something like that.
Right.
Because I always wanted to play out there. Anyway, if you watch the Last Chance U thing on Netflix, our team wasn't as good as that team, but it was similar. We played those type of teams, and we were pretty good. And we had kids from all over the country, Ohio and Michigan. And we had one kid from Spain, a kid from Washington State. So we had a bunch of different personalities. Anyway, so there's one kid that one guy I still talk to. And he played. He was our point guard. He was from San Diego, and he was our point guard. Really good player, really quick, tough. Ended up playing at Cal Baptist. So he transferred into Cal Baptist. At the time, Cal Baptist was NAIA. Now they're D1. Mm-hmm. And so I talked to him, every couple of months, maybe on text, or sometimes I'll give him a call. He lives in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So I sent him a text, and I was thinking about our team that year. This would have been 1990, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about some of the coaches and some of the players. So I texted him. I said, do you talk to any of the players anymore? Mm-hmm. And he says, no, just a couple. There was another guy he went to high school with that played with us. He was from San Diego. He said, that's the only guy. I said, I'm just going to Google some of the guys that we played with.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not lying.
Right.
The first three guys I Googled, one was from Columbus, Ohio, one was from San Diego, and one was from Ann Arbor. All right. The first three guys, guess where they are?
Mm.
They're
six
dead.
Feet under.
Oh, no.
How? They're dead.
How?
Well, the first two, I don't know. I just saw the obituaries. Like, they don't usually show say the cause. The other guy died of melanoma at 37.
Oh.
One guy died at 37. The other two guys died at 50.
Right.
The first three guys.
Just died.
One guy died.
No more Googling. That's where I would have said,
I shut it down.
I'm not Googling anymore these dogs.
No, I called my buddy. I said, can you believe this? I just Googled the first three guys, and they all died.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, one guy died last year. Well, another guy died in 16. Another guy died in 2006. Coaches are probably dead.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not Googling anymore because I'm going to find out. There's going to be two or three other guys I played with that are dead.
Too
50
depressing.
Years old.
Yeah.
I said, oh, my God.
Get off the Google.
And so I started thinking about Bickle because he always talks about death early, early death and dying young and yada, yada, yada.
About it every day. 20 times a day.
I started thinking about it because of that.
Yeah.
I figured, a couple of them I would see, they were doing this. They owned a company or something, or maybe they were in jail. I don't know. But they were dead.
Were they good guys, these guys that you looked up? Or were you close with them? Or
I wasn't
really?
Real tight with them.
What was your living situation out there like?
I lived in an apartment with two of my players.
Hopefully, it was better than the guys from last year. It's you. Now, I'm stuck like on episode two, but they show like those dudes crammed in like playing Call of Duty, like it looks like smaller than a jail cell.
Right,
it's the tiniest room ever. Those dudes are all like 6'7", scrunched together.
Big dudes.
Now, it looks uncomfortable.
Our place wasn't that crowded. I wasn't that small. We had a two-bedroom. Actually, one guy, I lived with the guy from Spain and a guy from Washington State. Okay? Mm-hmm. The guy from Spain, we only had a two-bedroom. The guy from Spain lived or slept on a mattress in the kitchen. And he was 6'10".
Why?
That's a big mattress.
Because there was no other bedroom. It was just two bedrooms.
So,
and I wasn't going to share my bedroom.
Right.
And my buddy, the other guy, Brian, he wasn't going to share his bedroom, so they put this guy, Stefano, on a mattress in the kitchen.
Who wants to share their bedroom with a 7-foot Spaniard who barely fits in through the door?
So 100%. You would get up and want to go for breakfast. You'd have to step over him while he's sleeping?
You got to step over him.
Oh, my God.
Every single morning.
That's hilarious.
And it's not like he slept on the couch. He wanted a mattress. So he just plopped a mattress down on the kitchen floor, and we had to step over him.
So how did you picked Grossmont, right? That was the
name.
Yeah,
I contacted
them.
How
did you pick it?
I just kind of called around, and I had some coaches, you know, some of the high school coaches call out there for me. And
they were a good program at the time.
Based on their records, yeah, but how about this? I don't think I ever told you this. So I went out there thinking, okay, it's a good, you know, conduit to go into a four-year school, and I could just play there for 2 years and go play at a four-year school. Mm. Well, these clowns scheduled too many games, and so we didn't qualify for the California State playoffs.
Because
he scheduled too many games.
Over-qualified? So you were somehow?
So let's just say the maximum amount of games you can schedule is 28, and tournaments don't count, right?
You couldn't go downstate like they did in Hoop Dreams or upstate?
I can't remember. Upstate. So they scheduled too many games. Let's say they scheduled 30 instead of 28, so that disqualified us from the playoffs. So I said, these guys are clueless. So then I left, and I went back east because I knew that those guys weren't going to be able to get me into a four-year school because – they didn't. First of all, they didn't know anybody, they don't even know the rules.
Right. How are they going to help you on your path, on your odyssey?
I'm sure you remember, Jason, and you could tell the story that Morgan helped you, and you you wrote a letter to Gary about walking on at Maryland. Tell the guys that story.
Yeah. So this was
that was after the year of Grossmont.
Yeah, this was like August after that your JUCO year. And I just said, well, I'm kind of scrambling here for a school. So I called Coach Wooten. I said, Coach, do you think you could reach out to Gary? Because Gary had just gotten there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, can you reach out to Gary and see if he'll accept me as a walk-on? He said, sure. So he called Gary, and Gary said, sure. I talked to Gary, and Gary said, what are your grades like? And I said, well, that's a different story. Because my grades at Richmond were poo.
Right.
I mean, just poo. I just wasn't ready for it. We had Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 7:50 classes. You know, I was staying up late. It was just, I wasn't prepared. And so he said, you can come in if you can get into the school. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get into school.
I remember the letter. You showed me the letter from Gary where he said, anybody who played for Morgan Wooten can play for me.
Right.
And if people have to go back to that era, 1990, 1991, that was just a few years after Bias died.
Right.
And Maryland, they turned down Lawrence Moton. Mm-hmm. They turned down a guy who ended up playing at DePaul. I think it was DePaul. They turned down like three or four guys.
So like, yeah.
Was it, I don't know if it was Klein Schmidt.
Was it Dallas Comagese maybe? Or was that was probably before that?
No, a different guy. Yeah. But there were like three or four guys that ended up being big-time players because they just didn't want to deal with drama anymore, and they were kind of raising the academic standards, and you got caught up in that.
They
didn't let you in.
Well, but my grades also sucked. I mean,
your
I can see why.
Terrible.
Yeah, I can see why they didn't take me. But getting back to the first part of the story, I just couldn't believe that the first three guys I Googled are dead.
Yeah.
And it just kind of hit home. I'm thinking, I mean, I don't know how they died, but except for the one guy, he died of melanoma. He died at 37.
What about what about Stefano, the dude who is sleeping
Stefano?
On the mat? Stefano. Whatever became of him?
No idea.
You should
I'm not going to Google him.
Slept in the kitchen?
I'm not going to Google him. He's probably dead.
You know what? Give me his full name. I'll Google him and see where he wound up. Hopefully he's still among the living.
I can put it in the outhang, but I don't know if I'm spelling it right. But
it's just hilarious. A 7-footer was sleeping in your kitchen. Like when you
Did
want
you
to go
to
get
class at Grossmont?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, but finally took it serious because I wanted to transfer into a four-year school.
Right.
I'll give you the three names of the guys.
I don't want to Google them.
I know, but you could see them. One of them had like a 50-inch vertical.
Right. Yeah. Are you at that age where your like high school buddies are dying or guys you went to college or no, not yet?
I hope not.
Yeah. You don't know?
Yeah, I mean, he's not even 40 yet.
I know people have, but they get donked off like in a car wreck or something.
Right, right, right.
Not old age.
He's not talking about old age either.
Yeah, I'm just talking about guys who knows?
Who knows how they died? It could have been car accident.
Well, it could have been COVID. Who knows? The guy who died last year could have been COVID.
I mean, I suppose it could have been. Yeah.
It was just like, oh, my God.
Don't go Google the coaches. The coaches are 20 years older now.
Oh, yeah. You can't Google them.
Oh, they're probably gone.
I often think about that when my first
was out of shape, short, fat guy. He's probably gone.
I often think about that, like, my first few years after college, like, between my bachelor's and my master's and my little jobs that I had and people that I worked for. I already know one of the guys I worked for is dead. Mm-hmm. I know the other guy I worked with, it was about 20 years older than me. I mean, he could be dead. And I still remember him as, like, early 40s, and that guy's probably, like, 70 now, you know?
Yeah.
Which is so hurting to even – I can't even fathom it.
It was depressing thinking about it.
Think about the guys you worked with, Cakes, when you were at Wild World, when you were like 17 or 18, like your bosses.
I don't remember them. That was like seasonal summer work. You think I remember my bosses from Wild World?
What about your bosses from Toys R Us, your first few years? I bet you some of those donks are Dunsky, pushing up daisies.
One of my first store directors, if he's still around, it's the upset of upsets because he was old back then.
Right.
And now we're what, 25, 30 years clear of that.
Right.
No chance he's still with us. That was
remember
my
this
guy?
Jason, when you worked with me at the club, remember that guy's name? I put him in there.
Yes.
He's dead. He had a big heart attack.
He's dead. Yep. I remember you telling me that.
It's a pretty fun segment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
When Jason says, he told me, I got something I want to bring up real quick.
Right.
You should have known. You can bring up people donking off.
Well, because it affected me on Friday.
Right.
I was thinking about it. And I haven't talked to these guys in 20 years plus.
Would you have reached out to them if they were actually with us? If
a
they
couple
were
of them, yeah.
Yeah, but usually you say something is affecting you, we think like a parlay missed or like you had a bad weekend.
No.
You had to pay for lunch.
Right. Oh, no, look. A parlay miss is much worse than what I read about these guys. But I mean, I wasn't tight with them. I haven't talked to them since I left California.
But it throws you.
It throws me because I'm thinking that could be me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, someday it will be you.
Well, hopefully it's not for 30 years.
Down the road.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right, do we have coach next?
Yep.
Yeah, Peter Laviolette your Washington Capitals coming off that big win against the Bruins. He's going to join us next right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're joined now by Peter Laviolette, head coach of the Washington Capitals, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Good morning, coach. How are you feeling today?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
You a little tired?
Well, I didn't do any of the work. I didn't do any of the work.
Hey, so by the way,
the
Coach,
are tired.
This is six straight appearances on a Monday morning after a win. That's a good streak.
You guys said this. I think you guys said this last week when we were on. I'm specifically remembering that we lost the next game, and I'm like,
oh, sorry.
I'm blaming that one on the junkies.
Yeah. Well, we like having you on after wins. And
I agree. We turned it around and we got it in a good spot for the phone call today, so everybody's in a good place.
So before we talk about the game, I know Cakes has a ton of questions.
All right.
I wanted to ask you about the fight 4 seconds in with Brendan and the Wagner dude. All right.
Yeah.
What's the history there? Is that a situation where you kind of knew before the game that was going to happen? Does he talk to you about that? Do the refs even know it's going to happen? Explain that situation.
I'm not sure that. I don't think that was planned long term. Like I don't think they skated by each other in warmups. I could be wrong. I didn't ask. I don't think they skated by each other in warmups. You know, a half hour earlier and said we're going, you know, first shift. And so it just turned out that way. I think it's just the fact that we've had some rough games with Boston and some physical games. And it's like playoff hockey, and it could be a playoff opponent. And, you know, that's just the way it went down in the first shift. You rarely see that anymore where there's a something right off the bat where two guys want to get into it. But I thought Brendan, I don't know if it started with Haglund and Wagner. I'm not sure. I don't know how it started, but Dilly jumped in there right away. Maybe he was saying something, and they had a conversation, and they went pretty quick. I thought Brendan did a great job just getting right into that. I thought it set the tone for us and gave us a lot of energy right off the bat.
Not only that, Dylan is also doing his best Nicklas Backstrom impression. He's got five helpers in his last five games. And he's already recorded more points in less games this season, 27 fewer games. He's got 15 points already, only had 14 last year. What's gotten into him, especially, you know, helping guys out and setting up goals?
that's awesome for him because he brings a lot more to the table too, like he's like you saw in the first shift. You know, that's you got to drop your gloves and get into the ring. That's part of what he brings to the table. He's a great leader. He's extremely well-liked inside the room by our players for just being a great person. All of that, we knew that coming in. Great teammate, good defenseman, brings some toughness and some physicality. And, you know, the fact that he's chipping in points and he's scored a big goal in Buffalo and he's got some assists going and having a real good year offensively for him, I think that's just part of what we're trying to get out of our defensemen as well with our identity in the offensive zone. So I know our D are contributing, and we need them to help out with the offense. And so he's a part of that. The rules don't change from, you know, somebody who's considered a defensive defenseman to an offensive defenseman. Everybody has to know what we're doing, what the cues are to move, to jump, to shoot, the traffic, and all of that. And so his rules remain the same as John Carlson's, and he's making the most of it in the offensive zone.
Coach, did you have a hard time yesterday keeping up with all of the multi-goal games? Sherry, Osh, and Eller. And I thought Eller's first goal was really pretty, and that was helped out, obviously, by Hags going to the boards and winning a puck battle there, getting him. And then Eller just undressed the Boston defenseman, went by him like he was in quicksand. Is that going to be a rough film session for that Boston defender when he sees that move time and time again that Eller put on him?
Well, it was a heck of a move by Lars. And listen, anybody that you know that they're playing in the National Hockey League, they're a pretty good player, but they're pretty banged up as well with their injuries. And so, they're coming off of a game the night before. I think we had them in a good spot with regard to injury and playing in the afternoon before, and we were rested. And there's definitely an advantage to that. You know, we knew going in that we wanted to try and get it behind them. They had a lot of young defensemen in there, and a lot of their starters were out of the lineup, so we wanted to get it behind them and see if we couldn't go to work from the top of the circles down. I think that goal was a perfect example of that, and a couple good plays, like you said, on the boards, and then Lars made a heck of a move, to score that. Made a move and then a really nice move in tight to score the goal. So it was kind of the plan going into it, just based on them playing and what they were dealing with injuries, and that was a beauty.
Coach, I now realize why Connor Sherry annoyed me so much when he was wearing a Penguin sweater and why I love him so much while he's here in D.C. I mean, he's the smallest guy on the ice, but he's always battling, had two goals last night. I mean, that guy is all heart, and you guys are getting a steal with him. I know McClellan's like, man, I can't believe I inked this guy for like 700-plus K. He's going to get a raise in the offseason. That guy's killing it.
He's been terrific. You know, if you think about it, this is just your typical case of somebody that came in here and just wanted to play the game. And you're right about the battles on the boards. There's no fear for him to go in to any battle and compete for that puck. And there's a good chance that he's going to come away with it. I think his wall work and his battle level are excellent. And this is a guy who started on the taxi squad. And you just think about that for a second. Like, you're right. Brian made a terrific sign on him. We got him here. We're sorting things out with our roster and you know, who's going to start with the club and how are we going to manage the taxi squad. And so, you know, he started at that point and he wasn't on the power play. Every game and every day he comes to work, we're trying to find him a little bit more responsibility because of how hard he competes and the skill level that he brings. And he's been excellent and really showed last night, I thought, just his overall game. Defensively, the wall work, the offense, he played a terrific game.
Hmm. Coach, we saw over the weekend that Lundqvist, I guess, reported that he had not a procedure, but he had a checkup, and it looks like he's still got a little inflammation in there, and he's not going to be able to potentially come back. I was blown away that he was even practicing and taking shots and all that, just what seemed like a few weeks or months after the surgery. Was that something that you were kind of hoping in the back of your head that you would have, or was that always a long shot? And then, you know, we were talking about it earlier. I mean, you feel comfortable with these young guys? I mean, they're playing great. I mean, you think you can win a cup with these guys?
With regard to Henrik, you know, the plan was to have him be part of our team and to have a veteran presence in place with the two young guys. And so, I thought Mac did a great job going out and getting him and getting him under contract. Henrik was so excited to be here and the conversations that we had, and then this popped up. I feel like we've got some good goaltenders, and Anderson's at veteran presence, and Copley is playing really well, and Cali's playing really well. And so we've got good depth on goaltending. We did the piece that you're talking about, that veteran piece. Somebody who's been a starter, and we did our best to bring Anderson into the mix here, and so we feel like we're pretty good. But certainly we'll miss Henrik. And then, you know, you heard him; he had the surgery, and we got the news he's out. And so he's coming through surgery, and you hear that he's back on the ice, and just really low impact out on the ice, just kind of moving around. But I do think that there was a plan from him and for us to see how he does with his report from the doctors and his physical and the possibility of him maybe joining us. And so, again, tough news again, because he gets the news that he can't do anything for the rest of the year. And so that's hard on him, and we would have loved to have had him been part of the team. All the while, we've got to play a season and get going here, and our goaltenders, I think, have played pretty well. They've given us a chance mm-hmm. to win hockey games. I feel like on some nights when we haven't been successful, it's more our play in front of the goalies and the goalies themselves. And I think there's always a game or two that a goalie would like to have back through the course of a year. But these guys have given us a chance to win games. And so to go out and try to bring in something that's equal to what we have, it doesn't make any sense. These guys are now part of the team. They've earned it.
Right.
You know, we don't look at them as rookies anymore. They're a reason why we sit where we sit in the standings. And, you know, we feel comfortable and confident with the goaltenders that we have here in place.
Joined by Peter Laviolette, head coach of the Washington Capitals. You've mentioned Brian McClellan a few times. He's going to be a busy man today. Trade deadline day in the NHL. You guys already made one move. Siegenthaler gets dealt to the Devils. How weird is that, even after all your years of coaching, where, you know, a guy that you are on the plane with and on the ice with all the time all of a sudden just isn't there and he's with the new team? How is that still awkward for you, or is it more awkward for McClellan, the guy who has to make the actual moves and the actual deals?
Well, I think trades are part of what happens, right? You know, when the trade deadline comes around, or the summer, or even just during the year, I think the trades are part of it. And it's hard because inside all the locker room, you know, the players are doing their best to create a family type atmosphere, and those are the, you know, those are your brothers in there. And so it's difficult, I think, when players move. You know, what was pretty cool last night, just to stay with protocol, is after the trade, typically a player leaves, flies out, and goes to another city. You know, we ended up having Jonas come home with us on the plane to get him back here so that he could gather his stuff and then, you know, go on. And it was actually a chance for a player to say goodbye to all of his teammates and the staff, and for everybody just to catch up with them. And so sometimes those trades happen, and you miss those personal moments where you really maybe get a little bit of closure with everybody. And we were able to get that last night when we were getting off the plane. He's been a class act for us, and he wants to play, and I totally respect that. And I always say that there's two roads you can go down. You can be noisy and make a lot of bad noise for a team and not work hard. He worked hard every day. He wanted to play, and I respect him for that. But he worked hard every day, and he didn't make any noise, and he just waited for his opportunity. So he gets a chance to play now in New Jersey, and we wish him the best. And, you know, it was nice last night that he got a little bit of closure, as did we, just to say goodbye.
Coach, just looking at the standings, looking at some of the numbers here, you get the Flyers next. Yeah, you lost to them in that first game, but I think you've taken the next three. They've lost 5 of 7. They're trying to get into that fourth spot, battling the Rangers and the Bruins for that fourth spot in the division for the playoffs. But they've given up 148 goals. All right, that's second most in hockey behind Ottawa. So the last team they probably want to see is an explosive offense like the Caps, I would think.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that when we get into these games, we're not going to, if you look at our schedule, even any team. I said this last night, any team can win. New Jersey beats anybody. Buffalo beats anybody. Buffalo wins yesterday. You know, after they're making trades and they're getting rid of players and they're sitting guys out, they still win. Like, you have to show up and right. do the work. And so we've got one more game with Buffalo. But after that, I mean, we're in it. And, you know, it's looking like, you know, Islanders, Pittsburgh, Boston, down the stretch we come. And so every game is going to have meaning because, you know, you've got teams that are trying to secure that final fourth playoff spot. You've got three teams that are battling to try and be the top dog. And I just don't see any break. Like, you know, well, this one will be a cruiser tonight. So, you know, you're going to have to play hard if you want to continue to win and push to be tops in the division.
Coach, we have to run in a bit, but last thing, fans will be back in the building soon. We're not sure exactly which date it will be, but limited fans will be back rocking the red here in D.C., so that's great news to have at least limited fans in the building going forward.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. We've seen fans in other buildings and, you know, even in Boston last night. And almost all the buildings that we've been in now are letting in some fans, and so it's great to see the fans coming back in here. It's been it's been really weird, you know, for me. I wasn't in the bubble last year. And so just to come into the rinks and have no fans there, it's kind of crazy. And so just to get some back, you know, if it's 2,000, 3,000, whatever it is, it's awesome because it brings some life and it brings some energy in. It makes it a little bit more real. And hopefully, you know, those restrictions continue to loosen up a little bit where maybe they get to 25%, or as more people get vaccinated, maybe to 50%. So I think the league's trying to do their best to make sure that everybody stays safe. But, man, we miss the fans and the energy that brings to the building, and we're really excited to have them back in.
Coach, enjoy the off day, though I'm sure you'll be busy getting ready for Philly and then Buffalo coming in on Thursday. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you,
guys,
Coach.
Have a good day, okay? Yep,
yeah,
we'll see you.
All right, buddy.
Of course, that's Peter Laviolette, head coach of the Washington Capitals, as he joins us every single week here on The Junks.
Mm-hmm. Cakes, do you know where does Laviolette live? Does he live in, like, that Arlington area? Or
I'm not sure.
Wherever the hell that thing is?
I know he's got a sweet lake home in New Hampshire where he lives during where he summers. That I
well,
do
here's
know.
What I'm getting at.
Yes.
Can we get him? When we all get back in studio, can we get him back in studio? That's what we need to do. We need
That'd
to get Coach to hang out with us for like an hour in
yeah,
studio.
He's awesome. Hopefully we can make that happen. We can that work. Did you know that roughly 300,000 people, EB, work in the D.C. area for the federal government, and those agencies have shifted many of their staff to remote work status with a complete range of contract vehicles and proven remote work solutions from Impress and Dell Technologies? Your agency can minimize risk, maximize IT efficiency, and help employees be more productive. Not sure which solution is right for you? Let's start a conversation on how Impress can help. Learn more at ImpressTechnology.com. That's ImpressTechnology.com, an SBA certified HubZone company and Dell Federal partner.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You can follow me at Money Metal Cakes on Twitter. You know, I try to retweet Rom as little as possible, but I did throw him a bone yesterday when he pointed out a milestone for him. And for him, I think it is a pretty impressive milestone. Yesterday marked 2 years, the 2 year anniversary of him not smoking, which I find even to this day kind of shocking.
Wait a minute, he hasn't smoked for 2 years?
Mm-hmm. According to him, he has not put a Newport between his puffy lips for 2 years.
Wow.
At this point, which is shocking because we've known him for a long time.
I didn't think there was a chance he can go 2 hours.
That's basically what I said. I said there's no way this just maniac could go 2 days without puffing on a cigarette.
And yet he still looks awful, like his body.
Oh, he still looks terrible. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But at least he's not adding smoking on top of the pile of unhealthy things that he does.
I mean,
on
don't
a daily
you think
basis.
It's still a little too late? I mean,
it might be
25 years or whatever of smoking.
The picture that I retweeted is of him shirtless with a Newport dangling from his mouth, and yeah. He's over top of the Encore Beach Club, the Romcore Beach Club in Vegas.
Yeah.
And he I said that's a bottom five body to ever be at that beach party. How could it not be? I mean,
right.
It's the worst body ever.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, props to him for staying away from the death sticks for at least 2 years. I didn't think it was humanly possible.
Well, I guarantee you, Long Island iced teas replaced all those cigs. And
oh, he has plenty of vices. Yeah. He still has a lot of vices. Don't get me wrong.
But I wonder if the COVID thing kind of helped him because, you know, obviously.
He stopped way before that, though.
Well, I know that. But COVID obviously prevented people from going to, you know, to all the local casinos or going out
to
Vegas.
He's been going to casinos. He's been flying to casinos.
I know, but for a period of time, they were all closed.
Yeah,
so I'm wondering if that helped.
I'm sure that did help some. But, I mean, the guy.
Because he smokes like a chimney in a casino.
He doesn't venture out much. It's shocking. I mean, he and Marina for, I don't know, maybe a year, they were just in the condo all the time.
Can you imagine
being
quarantined with Rom?
No.
How bad that must have been.
No, I can't imagine it. I can't.
She's like, Rami Bear, please go to casino, even though it's closed. Please leave.
Yeah.
Just to get out of her hair.
The picture is remarkable, what he's willing to put out there. I mean, I guess when you're just that bad, you just own it, right? When you look that terrible, you just put it out there and you own it and you go like all Chris Farley.
Sure.
You just, like,
yeah, you just have to.
It.
That's the only way you can do it.
Yeah. So, it'd be good to see him if he could lose a few LBs, I guess. He lost a bunch of weight. Remember for that, we did that Boo Bash thing 15 years ago or so?
Yeah.
And he lost a bunch of weight. I don't know what he did. Was he like running with Farley or something?
No. Impossible.
What did he do?
I don't know what he did.
I think he stopped eating.
Yeah. I mean.
What's hard to do for him.
I don't know. He hadn't left. There was a period of time there where he didn't leave his condo for months. Do they just order like Instacart or something?
Probably. I would imagine, yeah. He does still love Insta-burger. Some fast food, as far as I know.
Insta fries? Yeah.
Well, since he's been married to her, they don't just have like Burger King wrappers everywhere, right?
I don't know.
He wanted to get a carrot, would he have a carrot in his like veggie? You know,
I don't think he knows what a carrot looks like. Like, if you showed him a carrot, he might not be able to name it.
I think my dog eats more carrots than Rom does.
Right. It's possible. Hey, by the way, Drabby sent this a story that blew me away when I read this. You know, you always hear about imposters and that sort of thing every once in a while. Well, this guy, Jason, somehow he posed as he was a homeless guy that posed as a USC football player. And he walked onto the field. He grabbed some shorts and a shirt and at one point grabbed the helmet. This is a homeless guy. And he actually jumped into fielding punts.
That's unbelievable.
It was catching a few punts before one of the coaches finally realized they didn't recognize who that dude was. And they kicked him out of there, and I think maybe he got arrested or something.
He was on the team for several days.
Right.
Like he showed up multiple times.
Right, but they said he was fielding punts, and I think is when he got caught.
Yeah. I think he was actually pretty decent, but he wasn't catching the punts or something, so they kind of like looked into him a little bit.
Well, here's how he also got busted. This is from, I guess, just a description from somebody on the team. Quote, he was pretty young looking and could pass as a college student, said a member of the USC campus security who did not wish to be identified. He's about 5'10", but I heard he wore number 87 at practice. The guy who really wears 87 is 6'4". Mm. So that was the giveaway.
They so they realized, the
hey, this is the wrong. That's not that's number not number 87. He's or he shrank.
Supposedly
6 or 7
they
inches.
Said he slept for a while at a suite in the Coliseum. He somehow he found a way to weasel his way in there, and that's what he was doing for shelter. And then just to kill time, he was jumping into practice.
How could the coaches not recognize that he wasn't one of the guys? I mean, there's probably
120 guys. Yeah.
I know. But they should know at least look, you got 15 coaches.
Right.
If not more. At least one of those coaches should know, hey, man, he's not on our roster. Who is this guy? Well, but they didn't know for days.
That's the thing. He slept in the Coliseum, right? But he was in the indoor practice facility. They don't know how he got in there. Well, it's all fingerprint scanning.
Well, here's how. Because of COVID, apparently, they've stopped using the fingerprint entry, or that's declined in use. So I guess players had started leaving some of the doors like propped open.
Ajar, yeah.
So he was able. That's how he was able to weasel his way in.
They said it's amazing. He was in the hot tub with other players. Nobody thought
he must have looked young. Yeah, he must have looked like he was 21.
The closest thing I can remember to something like this, and this was 25 years ago at least, was when there was a guy that just got under the ropes in the U.S. Open and just started playing golf in the U.S. Open.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, he was all dressed up.
Right.
And he was like a good player, you know, but he just like jumped in with his bag and everything.
Where? How did he get his bag in there?
I don't know.
I love stories like that.
Here's how, Brad, because a lot of the volunteers at some of these events are like 80. They're not fully paying attention to what's going on. They're just by the ropes, and if they see a guy dressed like a golfer with a good swing and a bag, they must think that he's in the mix. Mm. Security's lax sometimes at some of these events.
See, the problem is we're too old now. We couldn't jump in. I guess we could jump into a senior tour event.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And nobody would know. You got like club pros in those things anyway.
That could definitely be done.
Yeah, right?
The security's got to be so lax at that event.
Yeah, and there's no one out there.
Right.
We got about 14 fans following his groups.
Maybe you could do it at like one of the champion like tennis events too, or like team tennis or something. You go out there and start returning Serena serve or something. It'd be hilarious. That's a great story, man.
Have you ever for once thought, well, I'm going to jump on the field and run across the field, or I'm going to I'm going to streak. I'm going to be naked. I'm going to run across the field.
But those guys are doing it now for money. Like, remember the last guy that did that for the Super Bowl? He allegedly put money on himself that there would be a streaker.
Yeah, right. But I don't think they paid him.
They didn't.
Yeah, I think they blocked that.
They nullified the bet. They said, you're finished. not paying you.
Guy should have just shut his trap. You know, or right. Let somebody put the bet in for him.
Should have stayed quiet.
Right, exactly. What a dummy.
He needed his attention dollars.
So, Cakes, big game for the, you know, even though it's early in the season, big game for the Nats tonight in St. Louis.
Yeah, if you like the Nats, plus 125 per BetQL.
Don't love it because Fetty's on the bump.
Yeah,
but,
I don't love it either.
You know, if that's Strassi, I feel much more confident they can get it done. But Fetty could give up 5 in 2 innings, and then you're playing from behind.
Yep. So we'll see if Fetty can bounce back from his disastrous outing against the Braves. We're done. We'll see you tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley coming up next right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.